Okay, so what we are supposed to be doing now and through the entire Junesman is a review of Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbes. Just a few points about what I mean by a review of Bishul B'Shabbes. The limud of Bishul B'Shabbes itself is a limud that would take months, at least, perhaps even years, to really master. In terms of going through all the Gemaras and the Rishonim and doing it well, it's really a daunting undertaking. Until a number of years ago, Bishul B'Shabbes was offered as part of the fourth year Halacha L'Maaseh program in Yeshiva, which effectively meant that what we were doing was we were giving a very quick overview of four or five shiurim on all of Bishul B'Shabbes. The feeling was that that was not sufficient. And in order to really understand Bishul B'Shabbes well, we needed more. So therefore we instituted Bishul B'Shabbes as a course during January's man and during June's man. And this month of January and June, the feeling was that we would have a better understanding of Bishul B'Shabbes. Again, incomplete, but still better. Be'ezras Hashem, next year, we are going to begin a new process wherein Bishul B'Shabbes is going to be a complete limud. Masechah Shabbos is now part of, or Hilchos Shabbos is now part of the smicha requirement, and beginning next year, you'll be spending approximately half a year on Bishul B'Shabbes. However, I see, just looking at the faces, most of you are fellows who are in the smicha program for a long time, which means that you won't have an opportunity to do Bishul B'Shabbes in the full-fledged way of spending half a year on it, at least. I see some of you are actually undergrads, and an opportunity to get Bishul B'Shabbes just in an overview sort of way is certainly very kedai. And some of you are here just for fun, because Torah is awesome, and we love Torah, and that's why we're here. I hope everyone is here because Torah is awesome, but that's something else to be said. Before we begin our limud of Bishul B'Shabbes, though, I would be remiss if I didn't spend 5 minutes talking about Rav Nochum Lam, Dr. Lam, who was the president of Yeshiva throughout the entire time that I was an undergrad, throughout the time that I was in Kollel Elyon, and when I first became a Rebbe in Yeshiva, he was the Rosh HaYeshiva, and he was still functioning in that capacity. Dr. Lam was an extraordinary individual. Very few people who I've encountered represent Torah Umada in the full sense, in the sense of having a genuine understanding of Torah based on the sources, and an understanding also of how academic discipline operates. Dr. Lam made Torah Umada into a discipline. He had something called the Torah Umada Project. He had a journal that was printed called the Torah Umada Journal. He was the founding editor beforehand of the Tradition Journal. He was a man of unusual talent, to such an extent that sometimes he really did not have the warmest relationship with peoples in other communities and with people in our own YU community. Sometimes, precisely because he was a genuine Talmud Chacham and his shittos were a little bit different, sometimes his relationship with the other Rosh Yeshiva was tense. But he was always a man of principle, a man of integrity, a person who I gained a huge amount from when I was in Kollel Elyon and we had those lunches. We could see him in a slightly more relaxed way, but he always, always presented very profound ideas. Chaval al da'avdin, he's a real loss for the yeshiva. If you just look at the way yeshiva operated, so Dr. Lam took over from Dr. Belkin. Dr. Belkin was more of a community builder. Dr. Lam was more of an intellectual. He focused on the academic side of yeshiva. When Richard Joel became the president, he moved back to Dr. Belkin's model. And now that Ari Berman is the president, he's moving back to Dr. Lam's model. Again, if anyone wants to schmooze with me about this, I love schmoozing in general, and I'd be happy to schmooze with you about this stuff. But what we're here to learn are the halachos of Bishul B'Shabbos. Okay, Chevra, so let's get right into it. Bishul B'Shabbos is actually not one of the Lamed Tes Melachos. When you go through the Lamed Tes Melachos in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel, so the Mishnah tells us that there's a malacha called ofer. There's a malacha called baking. And the Gemara is bothered by the kasha. How come Shavak Tana Bishul Samamonim Deheva B'Mishkan, how come the Tana does not list cooking, which was in the Mishkan? They would cook the spices, they'd cook the dyes, etc. How come the Tana lists ofer rather than Mivashel? That's the question that the Gemara asks. Just by the way, definitionally, the difference between cooking and baking is what? Anyone? Yeah, Adam, yeah? You have to unmute yourself. Cooking is by food, baking is by bread, but you have to explain more. What's the difference between cooking and baking? Bread is also food. What's the difference? You cook in water and you bake in dry heat. You cook in water, you bake in dry heat. Of course, this leaves open some other processes. Roasting is probably more similar to baking. Roasting is something that's done mamish on an open flame. What about frying? Is frying more similar to cooking or more similar to baking? Well, if you go, there used to be a restaurant called Golan Heights, right? There used to be restaurants that were open in this country. And Golan Heights, everything was fried. Everything, mamish. They would take a pita and they would fry it for you. Unbelievable. In Golan Heights, everything was not just fried, it was deep fried. Deep frying is mamish cooking in halacha, no? What you're doing is, instead of cooking something in water, you're cooking it in oil. That is that's mamish cooking in halacha. The question as to whether frying with a tiny bit of oil, is that halachically the same as baking, or is that halachically the same as cooking, is a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish and Maseches Psachim Daf Lamed Vav about maaseh ofes, etc. Now, are there nafkaminas lahalacha between baking and cooking? The answer, if I ask such a question, obviously is yes, right? Give me an example of a difference between baking and cooking lahalacha. Mr. Gabe, how are you? Bishul achar bishul is something that we will talk about, yes. In Shin Yud Ches Se'if Dalet, there's going to be a lot of discussion about bishul achar bishul, absolutely, although we have to acknowledge that that's going to be a machlekes harishonim, a machlekes between the Yireim and the Ravya. But psukim in the Torah, where in the Torah does it say that something, that cooking is an issue? Cooking as opposed to baking or as opposed to roasting? Adam? Bishul basar b'cholav. By basar b'cholav, bishul is osur min hatayra. Lo tivashio gedim b'chalev imo. Tayra uses the word bishul. Whether there is a violation of bishul basar b'cholav, if I make lahavdil a cheeseburger, right, where there's no water in it, is a big discussion, a huge discussion in the Rishonim, which the Prima Gadim summarizes at the beginning of Simon Pei Zayin in Yerideya. So that's one issue. And you also mentioned Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is probably the most beferish issue. The Torah writes that, right, Al tochlu mimenu na uvashel mevushal b'mayim, meaning that the Karban Pesach cannot be cooked. Cooking in water is forbidden. So the Torah, in Biblical Hebrew, there's a difference between cooking and baking, right? Baking is found in the Torah, va'afu eser nashim lach mechem betanur echad. That's like a pasuk in the Tochacha, right? That there is a din of afiyah on lechem specifically. So the Gemara has a kasha. How come the Tana lists afiyah as one of the malachas on Shabbos, and the Tana leaves over bishul as one of the malachos? Presumably, both afiyah and bishul took place in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, you do bishul samimonim. You have to cook the dyes in order to make the oros elam adamim, in order to dye the yerios, in order to dye the paroches. You make the dyes, you have to cook it. But there's also baking in the Mishkan. At least in the Karbin Mincha, there was baking, etc. So the Gemara's kasha is, how come the Tana does not list cooking, and instead the Tana lists baking? Zuck the Gemara, that the Tana is telling me Sidura de Pas, that the sequence of Malachas in the Mishkan, the sequence of Malachas in the Mishnah, are the Malachas that are necessary to produce bread. Producing bread involves plowing and planting and harvesting, right? Zareya and Choresh and Zareya and Kotzer and Dosh and Ma'amer, all those malachos lead to Ofe. But apparently, both Ofe and Mevasheh are malachos on Shabbos. And the Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, the first Rambam about Bishul, Shteitan Rambam, Ha'ofe Kegrogeres is Chayiv. If I bake bread, presumably, the size of a Gregeres is like a fig, then you're Chayiv. Chayiv means you get put to death, right? Chayiv means you're Chayiv a carbon, right? Bad, don't try that. If you're Ofe Kegrogeres, you're Chayiv. Echad Ha'ofe is Ha'pas, O Ha'mevash Alas Ha'maychol, O Es Ha'samimonim, O Ha'mechamim Es Ha'mayim, Hakol inyan echad hu. Zuck the Rambam, baking and cooking food and cooking dyes and heating water are all the same. Ad kan divrei haRambam. So it's all the same malacha. The Rambam probably has a term that he uses called ko avos malachos, that bishul and afiyah are both the av malacha. And that bepashtus is the din of the Rambam. So that is baking, cooking by foods. The thing that I wanted to show you, however, is that there's also baking, cooking, I'm not sure which term to use exactly, but by non-food items. By non-food items. Look in the Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Vav. Zuck the Rambam. Hamatich echad mimine matris koshehu. If you take a tiny bit of metal and you melt it, o hamechamim es hamateches achetei ose gacheles, hareze toldas mevashel. V'chein hamemames es hadonag o es hachelev o es hazefes o hakofer v'hagofres ukiyotzi bahem hareze toldas mevashel v'chayiv. V'chein hamevashel klei adoma to becomes cheres. Your chayiv mishum mevashel klolo shel davar bein sheripa guf kasha be'esh o shehiksha guf rach hareza chayiv mishum mevashel. The Rambam basically tells me, I'll say it over in English. By the way, would it be better for people? I could share screens of these sources, but I always find that, like, when you're actually learning Torah, so having a sefer in front of you works better than having a screen shared. It's not that I'm such a Luddite and I have no idea how to use technology, but I actually feel that for Talmud Torah there is something that's better when we have Sfarim. So Rambam Perek Tes Halacha Vav tells me that there's cooking by non-food items, there is cooking by metal, if you cook it until it becomes a gacheles, there is cooking by wax, if you melt the wax, you melt tar, all these things is a tolda of mevashe on your chayiv. If I make pottery, I make ceramics, my parents have kilns at home, and they make ceramics. If you make ceramics, you take kli adoma and you cook it, that is considered mevashel klolo shel davar bein sheripa guf kasha o shehiksha guf rach hareza chayiv mishum mevashel. The Rambam writes that all these cases, cooking by non-food items is a toldah of bishul, it's not an av malacha. Okay, pause for a second. There are 39 avos malachos. There are also toldos. A father implies that you have descendants. There are toldos of the malachos. Yerushalmi writes in one place that the Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish used to sit there trying to find 39 toldos for every one of the avos malachos. A toldah is something that's similar to the av, but it ain't exactly the same. The av malacha is what they did in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they cooked, meaning they cooked dyes. In the Mishkan, they baked, meaning they baked the lechem haponim and the karban mincha. And for the Rambam, those are the ko-avos. But for the Rambam, when I do non-food items, that is a toldah, that is not an av malacha. No? I'm just reading the words of the Rambam, Moreif Rabotai. Right? The Rambam writes, Mateches hamateches, hareza toldas mevasheo. State in Rambam, it's a toldah. And then the Rambam writes, klolo shel dovar, if I make a hard thing soft or a soft thing hard, that is going to be chayiv mishum mevasheo. Whenever the Rambam uses a lashon, a chayiv mishum, that sounds like it is tolda lashon. Deep breath. What this means to me is that bishul as an av malacha is on foods. Food, liquid, that's bishul as an av malacha. Bishul as a tolda is going to be on non-foods. I see that Yoni Zolti raised his hand. Yoni? Heating up water should be an av malacha for the Rambam. I think it is. I think the Rambam Parktes Halacha Aleph writes that cooking food or heating water is an av malacha. Absolutely. As I state in Rambam. But non-food items is a tolda. Now. Yeah, Mr. Muscat. Yeah. Hey, just unmute yourself. Yeah, so that's interesting. Dyes is a non-food item. That's a very good ha'ara. Cooking samimonim is an av malacha because that's exactly what was done in the Mishkan. So you're saying that my distinction between food items and non-food items isn't exactly correct, although the term food versus non-food, again, I'm just thinking aloud now. In other areas of halacha, like Shviyas, we have distinctions or halachos based on hana'asan ube'uran shaveh, no? A food item gets destroyed in the process of eating it. The dye gets destroyed in the process of using it, as opposed to the Rambam when he speaks about the what I call the non-food items, which is pottery and metal and wax. It just changes form. It doesn't get destroyed. I would make that distinction, although I think you're raising a good ha'ara, which I have to think more carefully about. Mr. Margolin, sir, how are you? Right, so that's an interesting point. In other words, I would say, but avad min ha'olam in that context doesn't mean that I get hana'a from it, right? Are we talking about like the mazik of shein, only when I get hana'a? Or any mazik, right? Avad min ha'olam, over here what I'm saying, like in shviyas terms, is hana'aso ube'uro shaveh. Right, that's considered like achila. The Gemara uses that lashon in Maseches Sukkah. No, hana aso ubeuro shave is right. Vahisa peres aretz lachem leochla. Right, the achila is mutter by peres shviyas. If it's not considered achila, it's considered destructive destruction of the payrolls. And that's a problem. Mr. Isaacs, is that a hand up? Okay, so burning wood is an interesting issue. Is burning wood considered a bishul? I have two malachos that I have to deal with, and this is actually a question I was thinking of talking about today, then I decided not to talk about it, but Gabe asked the question, so now I have to talk about it. There are two malachos in the Lamites. There is Ofe, and there is Havara. No? What is considered Mavir? By the way, there is a shtickle stira in the Rambam over here in Perek Tes Halacha Vav. The Rambam talks about if I heat up metal until it becomes a gachelis, that's considered mevashel. Whereas the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis tells me that heating up metal is called mavir. Right? There is a question. What is mavir? What is mevashel? If I throw a twig into the fire, and the twig becomes burned, is that mavir? Or is that mevashel? Right, we'll speak in a minute. The source in Shas for Bishul and what I'm calling non-food items, right, is the Gemara says, Haiman de Shoda Suchta La'atuna. The Gemara in Ayin Dalet says, if I throw a peg into the fire, that's going to be Mevashel, because Me'ikara Mirpa Rafi V'hadar Kamet. The Gemara says, first it gets soft, then it gets harder. So that's why I am Chayiv in that case. Right? That's on the non-food item. The Chaya Adam has a discussion based on the Rashi over there. Rashi there in Shabbos Ayin Dalet, it sounds like my kavana when I throw the stick into the fire is to harden the stick. My kavana is not to burn the stick. The impression that you get is that if your kavana is to burn the stick, then the stick becomes part of the fuel of the fire, that would be the malach of Havara. Right, when I have an oil lamp that burns on Shabbos, is that mevashel? Am I cooking the oil? Or am I not cooking the oil? I'm using the oil as fuel. Is it havara? Or is it bishul? If you look in the side of the Razzle Dazzle Franco Rambam somewhere, I forgot exactly where, but in Perek Tes somewhere in the Franco Rambam, so they point out that it could be that the distinction between Havara and Bishul is whether you're using it as fuel or whether it gets consumed. But Nachzor L'Didan, let's go back to what we're talking about. There is a Bishul on food items, Afiyah on food items, that's Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. Perek Tes Halacha Vav is talking about non-food items, based on that Gemara that we just referenced, the Gemara that says that if a person is shodis suchta la'atuna, you throw the peg into the fire, or m'hayman da'artuch kufra, or if a person takes dye and takes tar, and you make the tar all hot, so in that situation, that is going to be the malacha of Bishul as well. The Rambam calls that tolda of Bishul. And the Rambam tells me, if I make something hard, soft, or soft, hard, that is the malacha of Bishul. But the Rambam only says this by non-food items, which l'cha'ira is coming from that Gemara. Because that Gemara in Shabbos that says if I throw the peg into the fire, my kavana is to harden the peg. The reason why I'm chayiv is because at first it gets soft. Bitchila it's mirpa rafi, and then hodar kamet, then it gets hard. The impression you get from the Gemara is that by a non-food item, by the twig first gets soft, and then it gets hard. And that's why I'm chayiv for bishul on the twig. I should note, by the way, just as an aside, that Rashi learns that the Gemara is talking about cooking the water that's inside the twig. I don't know how many of you ever went to camp, but in camp, sometimes you make a fire. And one of the things they tell you about making a fire is you have to try to get dry wood, not moist wood, no? if the wood is wet and you try to make a fire out of it, you're going to hear like snap, crackle, pop going on the wood. It's going to make noise and it won't burn well. That noise that it's making is you're cooking the water out of the twig. According to Rashi, there is no source in Shas that a non-food item has a bishul. Right? Kein molin Shas. There is no source in Shas. According to Rashi, all the Gemara is saying is that when I have a twig, and the twig has water in it, and I cook the water out of the twig, I'm going to be chayiv. So according to Rashi, the Gemara is talking about cooking the water out of the twig, and by tar, it's the same thing. If you want to make the tar harder, you cook it, and the water evaporates from the tar. According to Rashi, I'm chayiv, not for the non-food item. I could tell you, again, this is Judaism according to Schwartz, so if you don't like it, gevaldik. But the Rambam, or I would say Rashi would tell me that there is no source in Shas that there is bishul on a non-food item. There is bishul only on water, which is food. However, going back to Gabe's point before, according to Rashi, though, when I cook the water out of the twig, that water is gone, poof, goodbye, right? How does John Sterling say it, right? Going, going, gone, goodbye, the Yankees win, whatever it is. So that, the water is gone, it's not in the world anymore, and according to Rashi, that still is bishul. Although I personally might have said that maybe if something is destroyed entirely, das heis nicht bishul, right? I could have said that the distinction between bishul and havara is whether something remains acharei kichlos hakol. So deep breath. But I'm learning Rambam today. I'm not learning Rashi. I'm just using Rashi as a foil. So the Rambam says that there is a chiyuv of bishul, a toledah of bishul, whether I make something hard soft or something soft hard. That's what the Rambam says. The difficulty with the Rambam is that the only source in Shas is throwing the twig into the fire. And the Gemara says, I'm chayiv because I made something hard, soft. That it's mir perufi, the hadar kamet. That first it gets softer. Nowhere in Shas does it say that I am chayiv for making something soft, hard. It only says I'm chayiv for making something hard, soft. So comes along the Lechem Mishnah, and the Lechem Mishnah there in Perek Tes Halacha Vav is bothered by this Kasha, and the Lechem Mishnah basically says, you know what? The Rambam says that making something soft, hard is going to be chayiv, because he learns that from baking. If I bake bread, first I have dough, or I have batter, and then I bake it, it's soft to hard. It's a svara. I don't need a gemara to tell me that. Hard to soft is a gemara. But soft to hard is not a gemara. That's what the Lechem Mishnah says. Now, it would seem to me that we have a fundamental question over here, gentlemen. Is the Yosef, did you have a hand up? Is the definition of bishul throughout Torah making something hard soft or making something soft hard? Does that definition apply everywhere? Or do I say that that definition applies only by non-food items? Again, and I'm sensitive to Netano's comment, the way I'm using the term non-food item. I'll say it like that. Let's say, for example, I make toast. Okay, one of the only things I know how to make is toast. Right? Okay, here's the recipe for toast. You take bread, you put it in a toaster, you get toast. Right? People chop the recipe, very complicated recipe. What I'm doing is I'm taking soft bread, I'm making it harder. Am I chayiv for making toast? Because I'm going soft to hard. Right? No saf al kach. Let's say I take a soup crouton and I put my soup crouton, which is hard, I put it into soup. And now my soup crouton becomes soft. Are you going to be chaya for that? It was already cooked. It was already baked. I should apply rules of ein bishul achar bishul l'chaira. But I just went hard to soft, soft to hard. And maybe the definition of bishul is hard to soft, soft to hard. So in the Mishnah Brura, the Mishnah Brura Shin Yud Ches, Se'if Katan Aleph, the Mishnah Brura gives us all the rules of bishul that we learned so far. Cooking water, cooking food, cooking non-food items, as we defined it. That's all in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah discusses what about, or the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, in footnote 3, discusses what about making toast. And he quotes that the Maharsham says that there's no isser of softening something that's hard or hardening something that's soft by food. The definition of softening versus hardening is a definition by non-food items. It is not the definition of cooking by food items. They are two separate things, and they are not governed by the same rules. We'll see throughout Bishul, different things are governed by slightly different rules. By liquids, the definition of bishul is whether it reaches a temperature called yad soled espo. By solids, the definition of cooking is whether it reaches what we call maichel ben jrusoy, which is the amount that it's cooked, a bare minimum cooking, that a fugitive, right, who's fleeing from your house, would chop the steak and still eat it. That's maichel ben jrusoy. Foods, as in solid foods and liquids, have different shiurim of bishul. It could be that by non-food items, the way I'm defining a non-food item, that by non-food items, the definition of bishul is hard to soft, soft to hard. But by food items, ken zayin, that that's not true. And it could be that making toast is not going to be a further isser of bishul, even though it goes soft to hard, because it's a food item. And by food items, hard to soft, soft to hard doesn't matter. To put it into the terminology that I was trying to get at a few minutes ago, this might mean as follows. This might mean that av melachos have different definitions than toldos melachos. This is a yesod that Rav Schechter has in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi. He develops it. Rav Nachum Zemba has some of this yesod. My Rebbe, Rav Moshe Brown, who was my Rebbe in Yeshiva Farakoe a million years ago, he has a beautiful Sefer on Shabbos called the Tevas Moshe. He develops this yesod in many places. It could be that avos and toldos are governed by slightly different rules. A tolda is only going to be chayiv if it meets certain definitions like the paradigmatic malacha. But an av could be chayiv even if it doesn't meet that paradigmatic malacha. Hard to soft, that change of state, right, what they would call it in chemistry, that change of state is bishul by toldos. By avos, it's not bishul, and that would answer Netano's question by the Samimonim. It's not precisely a distinction between foods and non-foods, and maybe I don't have to come on to what I was saying about Shvius, but the distinction might be by avos melachos, melacha is making it ro'i to eat. Once something is ro'i to eat, changing it a little bit, that's not a melacha. So taking bread and making it into toast, it was ra'i to eat beforehand, it's ra'i to eat after, that's not a malacha. By toldos, so then I am using a different definition, and that definition is called hard to soft, soft to hard. I think this is, again, not mukhrach, it's not compelling, but my Talmidim always know, I like to quote a vart from the Kotzker, which is that when you finish Kriya Shema, you say, Emes, V'yatzev, V'nochen, V'kayim, right, blah, 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 you get to Yafeh, no? Yafeh is very far from Emes. My inclination is to say Torah that's closer to Yafeh than to Emes. Emes is elusive. Emes is going to be very hard, but if it's Yafeh, if it's Geshmak, if we enjoy it, if we can remember it because it's all Geshmak, that's my job. My job is to get closer to Yafeh than to Emes. If it happens to be Emes also, Matoy v'manoim. But I'd rather, for these purposes, be in Yafeh land than in Emes land. Okay, gentlemen, so that's the first Shtikl Torah that we have, that there's Bishul by food and by non-food, Ovos, Todos, and what we're suggesting is, based on the Maharsham and many poskim, the Shvisas HaShabbos actually thinks that you are chayiv for making toast. He assumes that going hard to soft is a malacha even by food items, but I'm inclined to those other achronim, that hard to soft is only a definition of bishul by non-food items. This would actually be relevant also. We'll have a more lengthy conversation in a few minutes about cooking water. Cooking water on Shabbos, it's clear you're chayiv, no? Beferish, like, it's like the classic case that you're chayiv is for cooking water on Shabbos. Here, one second, Gabe. Why are you chayiv? It doesn't go from hard to soft. Water wasn't hard to begin with. There is such a thing called hard water for the chemists among us, but that's not what we're talking about. Right? Water wasn't hard to begin with. It doesn't become soft after. How can you be chayiv? So, in Rav Nevinsal's Sefer, someone bought me a gift. This, it's called Yerushalayim B'Mo'adeha by Rav Nevinsal. In his book, he contends that maybe water gets softer when it gets cooked because the molecules spread out farther apart from each other. The water is softer, and he quotes a Drushas Haran who says that, Vesechnesht. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It seems Pashut that it doesn't get softer in the cooking process. And I would tell you, En Hachanami, it doesn't get softer because it doesn't have to. Because cooking water is an Av Malacha. And by an Av Malacha, I don't need hard to soft, soft to hard. Gabe, you had a question. Yeah, this Pashta, some Isser D'Rabbanon in it. The Pashta is some Isser D'Rabbanon, but the other case of croutons, it's entirely possible that it's heter gamor if I'm dealing with like a kli shlishi or something to that effect, even though it goes hard to soft. They have like those hard, I think in the calf they still have them, no? Those hard like bread type croutons, and you put them in soup and they get softer. So, right, that could be, that's fascinating. That could either be heter gamor, or it could be an iser d'oraisa of going hard to soft. Right, wowza, right? It's kind of interesting, but the pashtus is that hard to soft is not a malacha at all by food items. That din is only by non-food items. Again, the din is understood by the Rambam. As we noted, Rashi has a different take on Judaism. Rashi has a different take on that Gemara. Now, of course, we have to define terms. What's called going from hard to soft, etc. In certain yeshivas, they give free coffee, no? It's like a thing. In our yeshiva, I think also, we have like that little urn. We used to have a base medrash, and there used to be an urn, right? We have to like give that whole introduction. There used to be an urn there, and sometimes you could get hot coffee, but in our yeshiva, they use like hot cups. In many places, they don't use hot cups, they use cold cups, right? A plain plastic cup. Are you allowed to put hot water into a plain plastic cup on Shabbos when the plain plastic cup is going to get softer? And it's a non-food item, and I'm going from hard to soft. So l'cha'ira, that should be a melacha d'oraisa of bishul on your plastic cup. Right, for those of you into the chumra of the day club, this is a pretty good one, no? It's a pretty good one. So, Rebbe Yashiv is quoted as saying that that's not called going hard to soft because a plastic cup was soft to begin with. Again, this is a definition of shiurim. I don't know. Like, what's considered hard, what's considered soft, I don't know. But I'm more interested in the question than I am in the answer. Let's go weiter. Right? I just want to make a few more ha'aros about cooking what we are calling non-food items, or cooking of those non-food items that were not done in the Mishkan. Let's talk about this a little bit more. You know, if the definition of cooking by these non-food items means going from hard to soft, so the Prima Godim in the Eshel Avram in Se'if Katin Lamed Zayin, Rov HaHafnaot Shelanu are to Simin Shin Yod Ches. So the Prima Godim in Eshel Avram Shin Yod Ches Se'if Katin Lamed Zayin, it's quoted in the Marimakim I gave in the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, footnote 198 and again footnote 213. The Prima Godim develops a Yesod that it doesn't have to be Yad Soledespo to be Chayiv when you're going hard to soft. If I have the type of item that's hard now, but I take it out at room temperature, if I have a non-food item that's hard now, I take it out, and at room temperature it goes from hard to soft, so the Prima Godim Tainas, I'm going to be Chayiv for that. I was trying to think of an example of this. Can anyone think of an example? The Prima Godim talks about the Magen Avraham there, and Sivkotim Lamed Zayin is talking about this case of Mei Misas Hadonag, the case of wax that gets melted and gets softer. So I thought that wax is only going to get softer when it reaches Yad Soledes. Prima Godim says, let's say it's not even Yad Soledes, you're still going to be Chayiv. That's wild, no? That's wild. By food items, it's a davar pashut, that there can't be bishul less than Yad Soledespo. If it's less than Yad Soledespo, there's mamish nothing to talk about, no? Mamish nothing to talk about. How could there be bishul? Teretz is, says the Prima Godim, not true. That by non-food items, there's going to be bishul, even if it is not Yad Soledespo. Now, Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach there, in note 198, Reb Shlomo Zalman does not like this idea at all. Reb Shlomo Zalman is speaking about butter. Whether I apply Ein Bishul Achar Bishul by butter, we'll discuss this. I'm in the sugyas of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. It's a famous machlokes Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Shlomo Zalman Arbach, as to whether Ein Bishul Achar Bishul applies to butter. But Reb Shlomo Zalman deflects this Prima Godim. I think he says that's something that will never reach Yad Soledes. In other words, it will be destroyed before it gets to Yad Soledes. So in that situation, you're going to be chayiv for changing the state even though it's lower than Yad Soledes. But something that will reach Yad Soledes, it's a davar pashut, you can't violate Bishul until it's Yad Soledes. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman says, but he doesn't really have rayos for this. He just thinks that the idea of the Prima Godim is inconceivable. One other chiddush about cooking these non... Oh, Yoni Zolti raised his hand. Hi, Yoni. How are you? Yeah, so we assume that Toldos Eish is going to be chayiv like Eish. There's no distinction. Toldos Ha'or, Toldos Eish is going to be... Yeah, in this case, the Rambam does talk about Eish. I actually was going to use this Rambam as a raya against that Prima Godim. No? Here, let me read you that Rambam. Here, which Rambam are you referring to again? I noticed this Rambam. Is this in Halacha Vav? Right, the Rambam writes that if I'm metich mateches or mechamein es hamateches, that is mevashal b'chein hamamames es hadonag or es hachelav or es hazefes or agofres kiyotzvan reizatos mevashal b'chayiv. Mevashal kol yadama is chayiv kol shadavuk bein sharipa guf kasha be'esh. Right, so you're saying that the diuk in the Rambam is the word be'esh. I agree with that diuk, and I would say that that diuk is the raya why the Prima Godim is not correct, even though Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach in that footnote does not note this. I don't think the Rambam means esh B'davka, because throughout Shabbos, the Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches tells me that Toldos Ha'or, Toldos Ha'esh, is the same as Esh. That's probably going to be a topic of our next shiur, what is considered fire. But I think what the Rambam means by Esh is that it has to be at least Yad Zola Despo. Again, I don't think it's compelling, but I do think that this is a reasonable approach to that Rambam. Does that resonate with you, Yoni, or I should say a little more? Okay, good. Another issue that comes up with cooking non-food items, or what we are calling non-food items, is as follows. You know, the Chazon Ish worked very hard to aser electricity. The use of electricity on Shabbos Ad Hayom Hazeh is one of the big issues. Is it Nisud Rizer? Is it Rabbonon? What's the status of Zoom Seders? Stuff to that effect. Huge discussion for the last, I don't know, more than 100 years. Poskim have been discussing electricity at great length. And the Chazon Ish is famous for his yisod that use of electricity on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa because it's considered boner makeh bepatish, that I take something that used to be dead, I take my fan that wasn't spinning and now I make it spin, so it goes mimavis l'chayim, so that's boner makeh bepatish. That's the famous Chazon Ish. But there's one line in the middle of the Chazon Ish, which is like a collector's item. The Chazon Ish over there in Simen Nun, where he talks about electricity, the Chazon Ish has one line that maybe the Isser of Bishul, the Isser of using electricity on Shabbos, is Bishul in the sense of it's Chatzi Shir of Bishul. Meaning, by non-food items, by metal, Bishul means that I cook it and it changes form. It goes from solid to liquid. However, if something just reaches the temperature of Yad Soled Espo, but it doesn't change its state, it doesn't go from solid to liquid or liquid to solid, says the Chazon Ish, that's going to be a Chatzi Shir of Bishul. Until solid state electronics became prevalent, when you used an electric device, it would get very hot. Ad hayom hazeh, your laptop computer would get very, very hot. The only reason it doesn't get hot is because there's a tiny little fan inside your laptop. Am I right? Hey, fellows know what a laptop is? Hey, you know what a fan is? Right? Things get hot. Electricity makes stuff hot. It's not going to change state. The wires in my computer, we hope, are not going to go from solid to liquid. But, says the Chazon Ish, it gets to Yad Soled Espo. Especially if I have a low temperature of Yad Soled Espo, let's say Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's 113 degrees Fahrenheit is Yad Soled Espo. Says the Chazon Ish, the use of electricity on Shabbos is an Isser d'Oraisa because it's Chatzi Shir of Bishul and a non-food item. Wow. That's wild. It's wild because L'cha'ora, the definition of Bishul by non-food items, the way we're saying it is, since non-food items in this context are a tolda, that means the definition of bishul is changing state. If it's not changing state at all, it's not bishul at all. Right? It's not that it's a shear. It's what I would call the threshold. Or if Schefter quotes from the Rugachover, this is called a shear nekuda. Right, Chatzi Shir means that there's like gradations. A little bit is Aser, a little bit is Aser, it gets finally to the full amount of Iser. I eat a little bit of Chaylev, a little more of Chaylev, eventually I eat enough Chaylev that I'm going to be Chayiv Malkus. Chayiv Kares, whatever it is. Chayiv Karbon. But if I, sometimes it's a threshold, it's not a Shir. So anything lower than this amount doesn't meet that definition. So that's already a chiddush in the Chazon Ish, that he assumes that cooking of non-food items, chatzi shir of it, is also going to be usher. I'm not convinced that this is correct, and I should note that everyone, when they quote the Chazon Ish's Isser in electricity, they do not discuss this line that is called the chatzi shir of Bishul. No one really no one really discusses this. Okay, so what I wanted to cover with you today was a little more than what we actually covered. I'm going to try to give shir. I find that I have difficulty concentrating for more than an hour, in particular over Zoom. So I'm going to try to give shir for less than an hour every day. So what we did today is we covered bishul on non-food items. Tomorrow I want to speak about bishul on mayim versus bishul on other food items. I want to talk about that in some length. Look at that Shar HaTzion, Se'if Katin, Kuf Yud Daled, which is very important. Now, the Hafna'ot that I'm giving to Rabbi Willig's stuff is to this English Sefer of Rabbi Willig. Now, Rabbi Willig's English Sefer on Shabbos is really hard to understand. You cannot read it at night when you are about to go to sleep. You will fall. It's Mamish Haskula for Sheina Tova, right? It's like you will fall asleep in a second. It's a hard book to read. You have to really concentrate on it. Rabbi Willig's Svarim in general are written in a way that you have to really concentrate to read it. Rav Schechter's Svarim, I find, I could read and just like chap it right away. Rabbi Willig's Svarim require much more concentration. So the Hafnaot I gave were to Rabbi Willig's English Sefer. Again, one of the difficulty in giving Shi'urim at this point is guys don't have access to a Beis Medrash. I don't know what's online and what's not online. If guys want, I could try to take pictures of stuff and post it to the Shir WhatsApp group, or some of you who have the Sefer could post it to the Shir WhatsApp group. The pages that I'm going to discuss tomorrow, it's around page 4. It goes like from 3 to 6, but 4 is like the Iker. That's what I want to talk about tomorrow in the Rabbi, in Rabbi Willig's Sefer. And we'll do the best we can. Are there any other ha'aros that guys have before we sign off for today? Any jokes? Okay, so if there's no jokes, then I guess we could sign off. Okay, Chaver, thank you for coming to... One other ha'ara, just very briefly. Tomorrow, my daughter has like a school project that I have to attend. So I would like to give shir tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. instead of 10:30. Does that work for people? Works. Okay, so Belina, there tomorrow and only tomorrow we'll have shir at 11:30. Now, I set it up in a way that the 10:30 Zoom link is always set. So for tomorrow, I think I will send out a different Zoom link in real time. I'll send it out at 11:30 and you'll follow along just because the way the YU Zoom works is that I set it up for 10:30 every day. Okay, so I'll send out a separate Zoom link tomorrow to all of your email addresses. Look for it at 11:30 and Be'ezus Hashem will have shir tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. Okay, gentlemen, Zeige Bench, have a good day.